This is the Reinforcer, Andrew Anderson, also known as the Purple Haze. And you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Hello, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Live and in Color, Wolfie D. I got my man Jimmy across the street. What's up, my dude?
What up? How you doing today, Wolfie?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. Just sitting here watching this world go to shit as, Israel and all that stuff. But we don't get political on here, but I'll just let you know I don't like it. And
right.
This is a load of crap. And anyway, man, fall breaks over. I ain't got no kids here. And good Lord, I'm happy about that. Love them to death, but I need them out of my sight for a little while.
Yeah. Well, guess where I am right now, dude?
Where are you at?
I'm in a hotel room in Nashville, brother.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, your hometown, man. That's my old stomping grounds as well. But my son has fall break right now and came out and, you know, he's got a job, so it's not as easy to bring him to North Carolina. So I said, you know what, I'm going to come out here and get a hotel room and stay with you. And man, we're having a blast and seeing each other. And but I love Nashville, man. I ate some barbecue last night and going to something tonight. We're going to have fun, man. But I was thinking about going to Louisville next and then, you know, do maybe Memphis and, you know, just doing the whole loop.
Oh, you're going to do the loop.
I'm just kidding, but yeah.
Jeez. That's gonna cost you a little gas money.
Yeah, yeah. Especially since Biden's in office, right?
We're going there again. Yeah. I remember starting the Memphis loop and gas was 95 cents a gallon, but that was way back when.
Yeah, that was the best days, man. Yeah.
But man, we got a pretty cool show coming up and a very cool guest, man. It's done a lot of stuff, man. I'm so jealous of people that get to do movies and stuff, man. I've been on, you know, Homicide Hunter and done a couple of things like that, but man, I wanted to be in I wanted to be a stunt guy. I wanted to be in some movies like that, man. And this dude has done. He's been the wrestler. He's been in some other movies that I feel like I want to watch just because of the names of them. One of them, he plays a werewolf with two girls and a something. I don't know. It has to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it has to be. Two girls and a something.
Yeah, two
girls, one cup. I don't know.
I hope it's not that, dude.
Yeah, it's not that, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So Andrew Anderson, good friends with Jimmy Snuka and Kevin Sullivan.
Trained by Nikolai Volkoff, dude.
I mean,
he's got a great pedigree for sure.
Yes, he sure does, man. He sure does, man. And I think he's got a good story to tell, and I can't wait to hear it. I've met him in person one time in Pigeon Forge. Jason Maples ran that show, Heroes and Legends. And very cool dude, man. And, you know, we were going to have him on last week, and that didn't work out. So we got him this week, man. And I can't wait to get him on the phone.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, last week we did a best of show, which,
yeah,
honestly, man, you know, I think a lot of people haven't heard those stories. So it's really cool to do those little recap shows kind of where we play some of the greatest stories that have been on the show. And, you know, we had the Bill Dundee knife. We had the Jamie's Eye. We had the Puerto Rico story, Icy Hot. So, I mean, it was really the best of stories.
Mean shit to people.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's provoked, right? I mean, come on.
It is provoked, but I can be mean. Put my back against the wall, I can be real mean.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're not putting your back against the wall today, but we'll have a good show, man. But I think, heck, why waste time? Let's get Andrew on the phone, brother.
Let's get him on here, man.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back. And once again, as promised, we've got a very cool guest. He was a star on The Wrestler, one of my favorite movies. And to be quite honest with you, man, I'm going to tell you something, Andrew Anderson. I'm going to tell you something, man. Me and my daughter did not talk for about a year, and she's almost 30. And a few months ago, she called me out of nowhere. I thought I wasn't going to hear from my kid again. And she said, "Dad, I was watching The Wrestler, and I just had to talk to you." And it struck me in the heart so hard because you know the story of that movie. Obviously, you were in it. But it means something to me. But it's just really cool to have you on here, man. I appreciate you coming on. Best friends with Kevin Sullivan, whom the last time I saw him, he was ready to beat up the bartender at Squared Expo.
Remember that? Do you remember that?
And I went over to him, and I'm like, "Man, calm down." So funny, man. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. And you know what's funny? Kevin Sullivan has wanted to beat up a lot of bartenders over the years.
I want to hear him going
in that Boston accent. He'll come over and belly up to the bar and go, or actually, in his case, chin up to the bar because he's so short. So he'll come up and Kevin will go, "I want a double Jameson on the rocks." And the guy will pour a double Jameson and he'll pick up the double Jameson, look at it, take a sip and look at it and go, "I said a triple. What, this ain't a triple?" The guy said, "You ordered a double." "I said a triple." And he'd get that, and he'd get that extra free shot.
That's awesome.
He's a master of mind tricks. You know what I'm saying? It's like that guy from The Simpsons. "I do believe my mind is playing tricks on me." So, but Kevin will make that happen to you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But yeah, man, I got to tell you, Wolfie, what you just said about your daughter, man, it's a home run, because my oldest daughter and I had a falling out in February. And then, you know, my relationship, my ex-wife had really got really bad, and soon to be ex-wife. And I haven't spoken to her, my daughter, since then. And it's just, it's the same thing. It's my oldest daughter and I haven't spoken. My youngest daughter and I haven't spoken. So it hit home and it hurts. It hurts, man. So I know, I'm happy you got to reconcile with yours. I hope my daughters come and talk to me. I mean, I don't usually publicize my personal life, and I even
I usually don't say stuff like that on here either. But
it meant so much to me,
man. And it was just so funny because, like, you know, she was kind of around when I was doing my thing or whatever, but then she kind of wasn't. And then I really don't know what happened, but just that movie made her call me. And, you know, just the fact that you're on here and you were a part of it, and it just all made sense for me to say that.
Well, you know what it is? The movie was an emotional gut punch to workers.
Yeah.
And and I think to also family members of workers, because you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know if Randy the Ram passed away at the end and he never got to reconcile with his kid, you know?
Right.
You don't know. I mean, he got the girl came in, Marissa Tomei's character came in and saw him at the end, you know, saw him die pretty much. Or maybe, you don't know what happened when the screen went dark, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They never made a follow-up. They were talking about doing it.
Yeah.
They might be doing it. I got contacted for it, for a sequel, but nothing ever really came of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also got contacted.
Let me put this on a lighter note. When I looked at, because it's been so long since I've seen it, but I looked it up a little while ago before we went on here and doing this. You know who you look like to me on there? You look like Spicoli.
Yeah,
you said it first.
Spicoli, everybody, listen to me. Everybody, when I had my short hair, when I cut my hair short that first time,
Yeah.
And I bleached my hair, and I bleached my hair in like early, like 1999.
Yeah.
And then I grew it back. So everybody was calling me Spicoli. Everybody's calling me Louis Spicoli, you know? And so I grew my hair out. And then over the years, as I grew my hair out, everybody would call me Big John Stud. Because I'm about 9 inches shorter. I'm only 6 foot, yeah. You know, and 6'1" actually, 6'2" with boots on, you know, the deal. So
yeah.
It's like Gene Simmons. I'm 6'2", but 7'2" with boots on, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But seriously, no, it was like, you know, everybody would call me Big John Stud, and I'd be like, no, actually I'm more like Little John Stud, because I'm like almost a whole foot fucking shorter than him, but you know.
You said Gene Simmons, and you know where I'm fixing to go with this, man, which is like one of the coolest things to me, man. Me and you talked about it last time I saw you in Pigeon Forge. Okay, Ace Frehley, man. How in the hell did you get to be his bodyguard, and how fucking cool is that? And Jimmy, well, let me tell you, Jimmy, my co-host here, he's a musician, and he's a big Kiss mark too. I saw Kiss when I was 5 years old in Chicago. The opening act was Judas Priest. Okay.
Yep.
I've been a lifelong Kiss fan. Tell me about that, man. Just okay. Being around. Well,
let's shoot back to 1989.
All right.
Ace.
I was 15.
Ace did his second album was, I think it was Second Sighting or Trouble Walking. He was on tour with Trouble Walking. I met him at the Limelight, the old church in Manhattan, the Limelight, which was the rock and roll church, they used to call it. It was a church that was converted into a concert hall. And awesome. I met Ace there. And we wound up, this is crazy. We wound up getting fucked up. So, and I just remember weeks later, I'm in the China Club and some guy pinches me in Manhattan at the China Club. He pinches my fucking ass cheek. I turn around, it's Ace. He remembered me. And next thing I know, me and him are freaking just hanging out, sitting around, freaking totally fucking wrecked, just drinking. He was drinking like champagne and beers.
Yeah.
I was doing shots. And I just remember that voice, you know, shots are gonna fuck you up quicker. You know? And I go, it ain't all the shots, it's the shots going up our nose that's fucking us quicker. You know? It's like, man, that's what's fucking killing us. That's what's fucking killing us. We were drinking like fish because we couldn't feel it. We didn't know what the fuck was. We weren't even on the, you know, I don't think whenever I met Ace back in the early 90s, we weren't even in the same stratosphere, man. We were out in space with him, you know? Yeah. But yeah, Ace has been sober for I think 17 years already, man. It's like
Let me tell you, man, the one time that I met him, this is the story. They had a wrestling convention, a horror con in Nashville. My friend, his name's Ben Dixon. He runs, he has a tattoo shop. He has a haunted house. He has all this kind of stuff. Lone Wolf is his name. Anyway, so he wanted wrestling there. I wrestled, and Brian Lawler was there with me, and me and Brian wrestled each other. And we get out of the ring, and Ben goes, "Hey, man, I got somebody I want you to meet." And I had no idea. And so we go back through these corridors and blah, 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 and whatever. So all of a sudden, he brings me into this room, and there's Ace, and he's signing his book that what is that book called?
No Regrets. No Regrets. Yes,
No Regrets. And I'm telling you, to this moment, probably one of the only books I've read page to page of my life, because I don't like reading. But I can read, and I'm very good with words. But I read that cover to cover. And anyway, met Ace. He was cool, and just that was like, wow, that was my wow moment. I don't mark out for many people what I did for him.
Yeah, no, listen, so I wound up being friends with Ace till about 93. I saw him again. I was bouncing at a concert hall called the Rock Quarry. And
I'd hate for you to be a bouncer that I was going to a bar at. Lord,
listen to me. You have no idea. I can tell you stories about this. That was a whole other fucking life, man. That's actually how I got into pro wrestling. Because
I can believe
it. I was at a place called another club called Rock the House. Yeah. And it was, yeah, Ace was in the Rock Quarry in 1991. 92, I was working. I ran into him again. That was like the last time I would see him for a while. It was in 91. But I would be working at a place called Rock the House in Wallington, New Jersey. And I just remember there was this big fucking drunk guy. He looked like fucking Sasquatch. He was ugly as fucking hell. Remember when Andre dressed like Sasquatch in that movie?
Yes. With
Million Man? This guy looked like Andre as Sasquatch. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get this guy out of here? He's fucking grabbing girls. He's stealing people's drinks. He's downing people's. I'm thinking to myself, this guy's going to fucking. The guy fucking, I grabbed him by his wrist. I fucking hooked him. I got him in a fireman carry because I was a high school and college wrestler.
Oh.
I hooked him up in a fireman carry, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's going to fucking, I'm going to blow my back out. I held him up, and I literally fucking grabbed the back of his neck while he was face belly down over my upper shoulders, and I grinded his head right down into my fucking chest. The guy bit me on the fucking nipple while I grabbed his head, and I'm holding this big fucking 400-pound motherfucker up. I mean, I don't know if he was 400 pounds, but maybe 350, 320, something like that. He was 7 foot tall. He was big, and I'm just holding him up, and he bites me, so I just freaking ground his freaking head right into my freaking my chest, and I was like, hold him there. And I'm feeling the pain. He's trying to bite me. I had a T-shirt with a leather jacket on, so it wasn't really hurting me. But okay. I pick him up as I'm walking with him. Jeff Miller, the Metal Maniac, who I had no idea who the fuck he was at the time, walks in with Jimmy Snuka.
Okay.
And I literally dropped this big motherfucker because I marked out for Jimmy. And I dropped this motherfucker right on the sidewalk. Jimmy came in. I proceeded to get drunk with Jeff and Jimmy. Got fired that night. Got hired. Jimmy said he's going to train me. His exact words were, brother, I want to talk to you about business. next thing I know, 3 weeks later, I'm driving. Jeff wanted to go home, see his mom. Jimmy wanted rides. So I'm driving Jimmy all over freaking the East Coast and into the Midwest with my Camaro. When I'm putting fucking miles on a fucking Camaro, Jimmy's in the car freaking. My backseat is filled with fucking beer cans and spilled beer, you know? And next thing I know is that somebody dropped out. This guy called Sky King didn't show up to a show in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up subbing for him, and I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I knew wrestling. I knew from watching it on TV. I was like a fucking glorified fucking backyarder at that point, but I figured I had a bump on the job fucking training. Jimmy told him I wrestled. I never did. He said, shh, brother, I'll take care of you. You know? And he hit me with the splash, told me to sit up, and I got hit with the splash off the second rope, not the top, because he was afraid I'd die, mate. Maybe, but like he said, you're a big boy. He goes, you can take it. So, and then he brought me to East Coast Pro Wrestling School, and I trained with Gino Caruso, the Kodiak Bear, and Nikolai Volkov, and Jimmy for a while there too. Jimmy actually had hands-on training with me early on, and then I wound up getting into the business from '92 on, and it was just pretty fucking cool, you know.
Yeah,
it's been awesome. A long '93. I made my debut, and on April 28th, I was 30 years in the business.
That's pretty cool.
So,
Let me say this, man. I watched it was like a, I don't know, best of video of you or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
Judas Priest was playing in the background of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I saw the person that broke me in, Gypsy Joe, give you a big headbutt. Did you
watch Gypsy? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know Gypsy's headbutts. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He gave me a headbutt in one of the. He was easy to work with, man. I mean, he was so old.
He was great, wasn't he?
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, sir. He died. It's been quite a few years now. First, they cut his foot off. Some bitch wouldn't die. He just wouldn't. I swear, man, he was the toughest old man I've ever wrestled.
And he wouldn't quit wrestling. He wouldn't quit wrestling. I think he wrestled up until
yeah.
He just kept going on. Didn't he do that thing with New Jack?
Yep.
Yeah,
that was in Tennessee, man. And I mean, I like New Jack. I've always got along with him. I don't agree with some of the stuff he's done or did or whatever. But If he would have done that to Gypsy in Gypsy's prime, and Gypsy took it as a 70-year-old man.
A baseball bat.
Yeah. Gypsy took that shit. And, you know, whatever. I mean, we can go on about that. But, yeah, I just saw Gypsy on there, and that's the guy that broke me into the business, man. And I saw
I didn't even know. I didn't even know that they put that match on there. I didn't even know that, they had it on it. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it, I mean, there's a couple of best of stuff. There's some stuff with me with some of my higher profile shit. Then there's ones with me with a lot of acting stuff in it mixed in with the wrestling. And then there's just old school stuff with me and Nikolai Volkov when I substituted for when Boris Zukov quit. I became the Siberian Tiger and worked with Nikolai again. And, right after he did that nickel and dime Volkov run, you know, they put me back with him, tried to make us the Bolsheviks.
You've been around a lot of people that I know, man. When I was watching that, Crowbar, who was my first partner in TNA when we were Disciples of New Church. I seen clips of you and him. Also, Tim Storm, I wrestled him for Matt Riviera. With traditional championship wrestling. Tim Storm still to this day is the only guy that I know that goes to the ring with a cup in his pants. I mean, is that the first person you've ever seen do that?
I've never seen anybody come in with a cup. I haven't.
Well, he does it. I mean, I've seen guys
do the old Spinal Tap thing and wrap a fucking banana with aluminum foil and put it in that trunk. So, you know, I mean, I've seen them do that, and I was like, "Fuck," you know. I mean, the most I ever put in my trunks was I rubbed a Hershey bar on a pair of white underwear. So when somebody did the sunset flip, pulled off my trunks, I look like I got a big shit stain on it for a comedy spot. But that's not the most I ever put in my trunks. Besides a chain, brass knuckles, or a gimmick, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you always lose the chain down below your balls?
Oh, dude, listen.
You got to reach that chain shit out of your ass.
It's always in the crack of my ass. Always in the crack of my ass. That's why the one time I went, Kevin handed me the chain, and I put it in my trunks. And then I'd come back, and I'd pull it out and hand it to Kevin. Kevin would not take it. And I was like, why? He goes, I saw it was in your fucking ass already. You did it on purpose, you shithead. You know, funny stuff, man. You know, and the other thing too was the one time I had Mark Lewin's original Purple Haze rope. Yeah. I also had the original brass knuckles that Macho Man used to knock out Tito when he did the belly to back off the apron.
Oh, man.
And Macho hit him with the knuckles to win the Intercontinental title.
Wow.
I had those knuckles too, and they were heavily padded. It was all foam wrapped in duct tape. They looked like they were 100 years old.
Yeah.
I had all that. I lost it on a JetBlue flight, you know, but if those things could talk, those things were in my fucking balls for fucking years. Now, one time my dick got stuck in between the handle, inside the handle, because it was like stretchy. And you know, when you're out there, you get massive shrinkage sometimes because you're a little nervous. I don't care how many times you're out there, how many matches you're wrestling. When you get out there, you always have fucking that. It feels like you're coming out of the fucking cold water in the freaking Atlantic, you know, on a freaking icy day, and you're freaking.
Yes. So,
but this was one of those days, and the opening where my fingers would go through were stuck inside that. And I pulled it up, and I felt like I gave myself road rash on my balls and cocked. So, I can't say that on the air, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can. We don't hold back on here.
Can you imagine what the nuts are thinking? I helped Macho Man win the Intercontinental title, and now I have Andrew Anderson's dick in me right now.
it was just one of those weirdest fucking things. It only happened once.
That is so funny.
Everything else wound up in my ball sack or in the crack of my ass or somehow. The other thing too is every time I had the chain in my trunks, because I suffer from a disease called no ass at all, I have no ass because I injured my knees so many times. My I couldn't do squats, so my ass shrunk down to nothing. So my trunks wound up getting too big for me for a while. So every time I put if I didn't put them in my underwear underneath, and if I just put them in my trunks, I'd have this little chain dangling out from my freaking crotch, you know, down my thigh. It was fucking.
Well, I'll tell you, that is one of the benefits of the gimmick that I had with the shorts, because I didn't have to put it in my pants. I could put it in my pocket.
That's great. Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that, Wolfie.
I was wondering what you were going to do with that one over there.
That was, yeah. PG-13 could put shit in their pockets.
That's awesome.
The other thing that I watched, and I want to talk about this because this is so funny to me, because I can't remember what convention it was, but I watched a match with you and Tony Atlas, and there was a girl manager with you. I think her name was Lexi Rose or
Lexi.
So the whole match, basically, I mean, you and Tony did some stuff, but the whole match was her stomping Tony in his face with her foot. And I come to find out on one of these conventions, I watched some chick, or it was a referee chick for some, I don't know, independent thing or whatever, but Tony paid her to come over there and stomp on his face. What the fuck is his deal? What is up with that?
Tony is a friend of mine for 31 years.
Yeah.
And Tony, his big fetish is feet, and he loves feet. He just loves sneakers, Skechers, tennis shoes. He loves certain types. He doesn't like pumps, high heels, and stuff like that. He likes girls in tennis shoes. And I just remember the first time I realized this, we're doing it. It was in 1999. And I knew Tony for a bunch of years before that, you know, but it was 1999. Yeah. We're riding on in Oahu on the main, right down the strip, but where all the bars are and everything, by the hotels in Oahu. We're going to a sushi place, and Tony's driving through downtown Oahu, and we're in the bus, the tour bus, and Tony's looking out the window going, he goes like his pumps, high heels, platform shoes. He goes, Converse, ooh, Skechers. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, do you want a pair of Skechers? He was like, no, I like me Skechers on my face. And I was like, what? I didn't get it. And then the match, the girl that was wrestling, Sandy Roy, Tony helped break her in the business. She was a female bodybuilder. She was walking on Tony's face in the match.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And then I found out about this. So that match with Lexi.
Yeah.
Lexi, Tony took a liking to her because she had the right shoes on. And Tony,
dude,
said
she was laying it in too.
Oh, bro, listen to me. That was the first time they worked. Tony told her. He said, he goes, Drew. He used to call me Drew. He goes, Drew, just throw me out the ring, ran out to her to Lexi, and then Lexi walk on my face. And I was like, what?
That's
a great imitation.
A great Tony.
And then and then we got in the back, and he's bleeding on the nose, and he's going, Drew, that was the best match I ever had, even better than Rocket Jones and Rocket Johnson not winning the tag team title. Lexi, you a good girl. I'll work with you any day of the week. I was like, dude, I worked you. He goes, yeah, but she's a lot prettier and she got that.
Do you all know what the deal is with that? Like, so basically there is in your brain the connector that makes like your sexual attraction. Sometimes it's really close to actual like other things, and they get crossed up for people who have foot fetishes, and that's why they like feet and stuff like that. Oh, that's why they're attracted to feet.
I don't care what anybody says. Everybody everywhere has a fetish.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it is. I think everybody everywhere has a fetish.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, totally. You got some, my fiance now, Karen, she's a counselor, and she's also a trauma therapist, and she deals with a lot of things, and she used to work, and she puts away pedophiles and sexual predators and stuff. And she was telling me a lot of these sexual predators have these fucking sick, fucking twisted fetishes. And, you know, she said that she read stuff, you know, over the years. She's seen some really freaking bizarre things with these sexual predators. She doesn't work for the prison system anymore. But she said she identifies. She said a lot of these fucking people. There was a guy who used to fuck tailpipes of cars.
What?
You know, a guy and his father used to fuck tailpipes of cars. Crazy shit, right? So, you know, a lot of weird people over the years. I mean, she's telling that was like 30 years ago, whatever, but yeah. She said there's a lot of cases and a lot of people have some freaky stuff, but then you got benign ones like that, you know, people have benign, everybody has some kind of thing that gets them off, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know,
That's crazy, man. And I also understand that you have a super glue fetish.
Listen to me. When I would be in my heavy drinking days and partying days, you know what I'm talking about partying. But in those days, it was like nobody was safe around me.
Yeah.
Nobody was safe around me. I would be crazy gluing everybody to everything. The whole rooms, I'd be gluing doors shut, hotel rooms, zippers on bags, everything. People were actually afraid to fucking room with me. You know, I would glue their shit together. The other thing I would do, I would take smoke bombs, light them till the fucking flame burned out because I didn't want to burn anything.
Yeah.
Put my thumb right on it right as soon as it was hot. I actually put a key on it because the key wouldn't get burned my finger while it was still hot. And I would open up somebody's gym bag and throw it in there. And they'd open up their gym bag. Their gear would be purple, yellow, blue, whatever the color was of the smoke bomb. You know, and we were just like, it was unleashing the thing. I would do all these fucking crazy fucking ribs. And I'm wondering, people are afraid to be around me. They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to eat around me. And I realized then fucking one day, fucking Crowbar said to me, he goes, dude, you got to stop ribbing people like you do. He goes, it's fucking brutal. He goes, I mean, you're not Fuji or a fucking bulldog, but he goes, you're fucking getting a little out of control there, you know? So, you know, the best, I got to tell you, the best fucking rib was, we're wrestling in Africa, and it's me and remember Big Rick Fuller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So me and Rick Fuller, it's the reinforcer and the detonator. That's what they called us, and we're wrestling. And we did a lot of stuff together overseas and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're wrestling against Powers of Pain, Kevin's managing him. And I snapped Mare Barb, and I put Barbarian in a fucking chin lock. And all of a sudden, freaking, I smell something. And Barb's ripping him. He's barking up a storm.
Oh, man.
I'm like, and I look over, the ref goes, does he give? And I'm like, do you give? And Barb's laughing. I'm going, no, but I give. And he goes, what do you mean? I'm the guy holding him in the chin lock. And I'm saying, I give. He goes, what do you mean? I go, dude, you don't smell that? Barb parted. So the ref turns around and starts laughing so loud. He runs over to fucking Warlord. Barb farted. Runs over to Rick Fuller. Barb farted. Runs over to Kevin. Barb farted. Kevin goes, because he goes, farted. He shit himself. He goes, I can smell that out here. You know, it's funny. It's funny as hell. So, I mean, Barb used to fucking, he used to eat all that protein, man.
Yeah.
Barb used to fucking fart so bad. Sort of Terry, the Warlord, used to fucking rip.
Them protein farts are brutal, man.
I never seen anybody eat more. He was the smartest guy alive. Fucking Terry the Warlord,
yeah.
He brought packets of tuna and he brought cases of Snickers bars, and he brought it, and he was so jacked up and ripped. And I'm thinking to myself, why is he eating all this fucking sugar? Because over there you had nothing, you know. So he was trying to get sugar in his system and protein in his system.
Yeah.
So he was getting the carbs, the protein, and the sugar from the peanut bars, you know, and the peanut Snickers, and the protein from the from the tuna packets. But you know, that was another whole other story, man. That was a crazy trip. But yeah, that's, man, freaking, you had some career, dude. You had a pretty freaking impressive career, dude.
Oh,
you know, working Memphis and everywhere. You worked with everybody. You did so much, man. WCW, I mean, just, it was great, you know. I mean, yeah. Kevin always talks highly of you, you know.
Yeah,
we had him on. He was a great
interview. Yeah, we had him on. He was great. And unfortunately, I only got to work with him one time. I think it was me and Jamie against Rick and
Varsity Club. Rondo.
Yeah.
Rick and Rick do all those funny crazy throws and suplexes.
The funniest part of that whole match was that Rick sets Jamie up on the top rope backwards. Okay. He's going to back suplex him off the top rope.
And Jamie
hooks the ropes and he's going, I'm not going.
Oh my God. I don't believe. Did he go? Did he ever
Rick
go?
Just hooked him and took him.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, did Rick do any of those crazy fucking, Rick was nuts, man. He was nuts.
Oh yeah.
I mean, his lines were so fucking stiff. You know,
yeah.
I thought Scotty was stiff. No, Rick was way stiffer, man. Rick was way stiffer. I never got to work.
You know what I learned on that, man? And I've told Jimmy this. I've been in there with some guys like him and Hawk and Animal and all these guys that throw these crazy fucking clotheslines. I just crowd them. I get my shoulder in because the momentum is coming from the hand and the forearm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I get in close and I let my shoulder hit their shoulder, I'm gonna take a lot off of that. And it's
yep, not, it does.
It's gonna look good, and I'm not gonna be dead.
it becomes, you know what? That's smart because it becomes more of a tackle.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. But it's more of a tackle type of bump.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it still looks good, you know? I mean, yeah. I thought Scotty Steiner was fucking stiff, but yeah, Scotty's always been, Scotty's a great guy, man. Scotty always gets bashed by a lot of guys, but I think Scotty.
I love them both.
I love them. I think he's great. And Rick
always asked me this, the stiffest guy I ever worked with, and we talked about this last week, didn't we, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Perry Saturn, man. God. Jesus Christ,
dude,
man.
Have you seen the way he looks?
Yeah.
Have you seen the way he looks now? He looks so different. He looks like an old man. I was like,
well, I've heard some unfortunately not good things, and I'd love to talk to him, man, because I really.
He was a nice guy, man.
He was awesome.
I worked him and John when they were the Eliminators, man.
Yeah,
me too. You know, I worked them when they were the Eliminators, man. Yeah. Fuck. You know, oh man, that was fucking. I mean, it was sad.
And
man,
what
you know
an what athlete I mean? Cronus was, man, for his size and the things he could do. That backflip, triple backflip thing, and then over the top backflip, man. He was.
Yep.
What an athlete he was, man.
Well, before he passed away, me and John were talking about doing a tag team calling us the Re-Eliminators instead of Reinforcer, but the Eliminators, the Re-Eliminators. Yeah. And we were talking about doing that, and then he just fucking died. And it was such fucking, you know, John was such a good dude, man. I love John too, you know.
Yeah.
And Mike,
he was
Alex
like a
Rizzo,
big puppy,
too.
Man. He was like a big puppy.
He was. And Alex Rizzo too. Alex Rizzo was a good friend too. And the two of them always used to work together. I'd always team up with John against Alex and somebody else. I mean, one time it was an odd combo. Yeah. It was me and John against Alex and Nikolai. And Nikolai was my tag team partner for years, you know.
So, oh,
I
mean, can you do a Nikolai impersonation?
Well, Drew, let me tell you something, Drew. You have to be vegan. The vegetarian. The vegetarian is the way to go, you know. Not do all these drugs. Like, you can't be a drug. Can't be a drug addict like beefcake. I call beefcake fruitcake, you know.
Oh, that's gonna lead me into another question I got. What's the heat with beefcake that you got?
Who told you about this?
I just saw it. I saw it on something where you were like, they asked you a question, and honestly, I didn't really listen.
I have no heat with Bruce. I love Ed. Right. I love him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, him and Greg got into some shit, and I got into some shit with him. You know, we got into, you know, family fights. I mean, he's mad at me. He says that I ended his career at Broke's Back. And that was a line of shit. Brodus Clay and Kurt Angle and everybody were at the Legends of Wrestling show.
Yeah.
Me and Brutus wrestled, and he didn't want to.
Would you have broken his back? What does he claim happened there?
He didn't do anything. He wasn't selling, and I was giving him shoulder tackles in the corner. Mm. And he wasn't selling them. And he's standing there looking at me. So I shot him off into the buckle really hard and hit him with a fucking clothesline or a tackle or something. And he says I stiffed him, and it was nothing, totally bullshit, you know. And he just, you know, I don't know what the fuck happened between me and him, but that's what he's telling everybody. He told Jimmy Hart that, he told fucking Knobs and Jerry that. I mean, he told a lot of people that shit, and they all say, you know, his back was already fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
I never fucking hurt him. I never hurt anybody in my life. I hurt one guy one time. I went for a Samoan drop, and I landed on the guy's face, getting this big guy Brawley out of Jersey.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was my fault, and I took credit for it. You know, I mean, that was the only guy I ever fucking hurt. And
I'm like
always careful.
I've never hurt anybody either, but you worked with somebody that's one of my best friends, and he claims that I kill him all the time. It's Flash Flanagan. Flash claims that I just have beat him to death, and I'm the result of all his concussions and whatever.
Yeah,
Flash and I are in the cage. We're in the cage for SICW last this past June. I drop an elbow, and I hear him go, "You deflated me."
I don't know if you've seen some of his shit from Puerto Rico, man, but
yeah,
he fucking showed out and fucking did some crazy shit, man.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at SteveBowtieBryant@iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Here's what we do in this this part of the show. I'm gonna do a little roll, and I'm gonna hot tag Jimmy, and Jimmy's gonna come in with some fucking questions because I'm just off the cuff. I call it in the ring. Jimmy's okay. Got a bunch of stuff probably written down that he's gonna ask you.
Yeah, man. So one of the questions I have, and I mean, you're Andrew Anderson, obviously. So the Anderson name and family. Now, what line of do you have to go to Ole to get the rights now since Gene's gone? I mean, tell me about the Anderson name.
Well, I asked Ole a long time ago, and he said, okay, I had no problem with it. I never really asked Arn directly, but Arn's been pretty cool with everything over the years, over the past 20 years. I mean, he's been cool with everything. I mean, yeah. We do photos. We do Anderson photos together a couple times, you know, with Brock and him and, you know, with CW. I mean, everything, you know, I mean, it's never been, I never actually asked him, but I asked Ole, and Ole was really cool with it. I mean, Ole has MS right now, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he last I saw Ole, he was in pretty bad shape, but Ole's always been very generous and very nice and kind to me. And, you know, he was booker for a few things that I was in and, you know, really great guy, you know, I mean, a lot of people hate him. A lot of people don't like him, but I've always liked Ole, you know, I always call him Uncle Ole because he's always been good to me. And, you know, I mean, me and CW Anderson always talk about doing an Anderson tag team and stuff like that. You know?
That'd be great. So, yeah.
Yeah,
well, I figured Ole would be the guy you would need to clear it with anyway.
I did clear it with Ole. I did.
That's cool.
People put on all these Wikipedia and all this. By the way, somebody fucked up my Wikipedia page. Somebody's been ribbing me, put down that one of my names is Baby Gorilla. I was like, what the fuck is this? So every time I go, and then somebody else fucked with me and said, yeah, Andrew Anderson won simultaneously in 1998, won the WCW title by beating Goldberg and then beat Steve Austin for the WWE title. I'm like, who put this, you know, anybody can go out and be a moderator.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I have a lot of friends that are wise asses, you know?
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
The non-wrestling, I just want to fuck with people, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, but no, it was Ole's permission to do it. And it was actually Mike Bucci, Mikey Nova, who gave me the Anderson gimmick. He's the one that told me to do it, you know? And Crowbar said, what's his name from WCW wasn't using the Reinforcer anymore. He retired. So he said, call yourself the Reinforcer. Oh, I'm the Enforcer. You're the Reinforcer. Do it. So that's how we did the Reinforcer. So it was actually Mike Bucci said, you know, call yourself Andrew Anderson. You look like an Anderson, you know? I mean, the Russian gimmick is dead, you know? The man, and
right.
Billy Eadie later on gave me the Masked Superstar mask. It gave me permission to use the Masked Superstar because everybody...
Wow.
Dennis Carluzzo put that on me, and I had to do a show, and then I found out, wait a minute, I don't have Bill's permission for this. And I was like, Dennis Carluzzo, you're okay. You'll be fine. Just do it.
you know, he was the insurance salesman or the freaking that he was, you know, so he's, you know, the mortgage insurance salesman. So I was like, well, this doesn't sound right. Come on, Dennis. But I'm kind of green. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm only like 8 years in the business, whatever. I'm thinking, okay, you know, then he books me. Andrew Anderson, not he said, I got Andrew Anderson booked against the Demolition Axe. And all of a sudden he posts on the poster, it's the Masked Superstar versus Demolition Axe. I'm like, oh, Bill's going to kill me.
You know? Yeah. Oh my God.
So, you know, so, I mean, because every time I wrestle him as Andrew Anderson, you know, I mean, Bill was one of the toughest guys alive at one point, you know.
Yeah.
Bill would fucking fish hook me the whole match, you know what I'm saying, on my mouth and everything, just have fun with it. But, I mean, it was cool. And I'm thinking to myself, he going to kill my ass, you know. The thing is, out of respect, I can't fight back for my life, you know.
So right,
like,
of course.
I'm like, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, I mean, Bill was so gracious, said I look great, you know, and then it was just really fucking cool. So then I did the Masked Superstar with Moonlight as him. That's why I never got any tattoos, you know?
Yeah, that's so amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so another question I have is, obviously we've been talking about him quite a bit throughout the show here, but give me some things that you've learned from Kevin Sullivan. Just, you know.
Things, don't spread yourself keep yourself, every time you got a lot of conventions going around, pull yourself off them for a while.
Yeah.
Pull yourself off. Make yourself scarce. So the people, and he said he got that from Terry Funk.
Wow.
He got that from Terry Funk. He said, when you start making money and people have your shit already, they're not going to want it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why I pulled myself like off the big event in New York and a bunch of other stuff, because I'm a New York guy. Everybody's got my shit. Now when I come back, you know, people buy shit every now and again. You know, I'll stay off for 2 years and come back and do something. I mean, that's the key to, I guess, the longevity in a way. The other thing I learned from Kevin Sullivan was to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And the thing I just recently learned from Kevin Sullivan was to not post all this fucking crazy stuff, you know, because, I mean, I did a lot. I went to the Maldives with my fiance, and I posted a lot of stuff down there, and my daughters really got hurt. They didn't know, my youngest daughter didn't know I got engaged. And, you know, and it was just really tough. So he like sort of like, you know, keeps me in line with a lot of stuff. The other thing is psychology. He taught me less is more. He helps me to be stiff in the ring without being too stiff, because I used to be stiff.
Yeah.
I could be either really super stiff or, you know, like when SW Fury was running in Texas, they wanted Texas style wrestling. Now I'm just coming off East Coast runs for a number of years, and I'm hitting like Jimmy Snuka. I worked like Snuka.
Yeah.
I was very light, you know, I was trained by Snuka. So I'm wrestling very light for a while there. I mean, I've also wrestled very stiff when I have to do stiff stuff. When I did the stuff in Japan and stuff, that was a lot stiffer. When I did the stuff, you know, for working a lot of the ECW guys like New Jack and you know, guys like that, I was working, you know, hardcore stuff. You brawl when you're the nasty boys, you brawl, but you don't kill each other, you know?
Right.
So I when I got there, Kevin said, you gotta be stiffer. So I literally, after 26 years in the business, I had to freaking totally like retrain my punches to get a little harder. Not my punches, because I couldn't punch. My forearms, which were the drizzling shits. I never threw forearms. I always threw punches. In Texas, they had this company, SW Fury, and they didn't want anyone to throw punches. They wanted to make it, if you threw a punch, you're disqualified right away. So that was the one thing to distinguish them. So all of a sudden, I had to throw forearms. I had to throw forearms, headbutts, everything else, you know what I'm saying? But and do stuff that I didn't normally do. So it was out of my wheelhouse. But Kevin helped me work through all that. And Charlie Haas, too, helped me a lot with that, too. Charlie Haas, you know, he put me through the ringer with a lot of stuff. So it's a great guy,
I've too. Never, so. I've never, I don't think ever in my life thrown a forearm. Being a Memphis guy, if you can't throw a punch, you're not going to get over. So that's just the difference, man. I had to learn how to throw one, and I credit another person we talk about a lot on here is Lawler, the best punches in the business.
I just watch him
and, man, love it. Because most guys only have one punch. They have one punch they throw. But Lawler, he'll throw lefts, rights, uppercuts with either hand, and I always prided myself on being able to do that also, man. But yeah, the forearm, you know, never could get into it.
You know who else had the best punch in the business too? Terry Funk. Terry Funk.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
So great.
And a left. Terry Funk and left. And Bob Cook. You know, I remember Bob, he calls himself a jobber all the time. I call him a legend because he worked with everybody, and Bob's a great dude. And I think it's somebody you should have on your show soon. I'd love to hook us up with him.
I'll definitely
hook you up with Bob, because Bob is to me, he's a good friend. He's one of my biggest supporters over the years. And when I've been down in the dumps and stuff, I'm ready to quit, you know, he's always come to my, you know.
Yeah.
And he also helps Brian Blair and other guys run the Florida Legends Lunch, which he puts a lot together and helps a lot of things. A lot of the Florida guys.
A lot of cool guys down there. I lived in
Texas
for about a year and met a lot of cool dudes down there. What's his name? Joe Gomez.
That's Kevin.
Jeff Gomez. Steve Kern. And Dan Spivey, man. I love Dan Spivey, man.
Well, they're all down. The Legends Lunch, I think there's one on the 27th. Now, on the 27th of October, I'm going to be at Chiller Theater, so I ain't going to be able to do that, but they're having the Legends Lunch, and they're honoring Al Perez, who's another Florida guy.
Al Perez. I'll tell you, when I went to TNA, nobody was doing it anymore. I don't know if you remember Al Perez's Whirly Bird, where he'd pick him up and spin him around, do the helicopter spin.
Yep.
I completely stole that from him, because I'd never seen anybody do it since then, and I made a good thing out of it in TNA. Like, that was my move. That was the Whirly Bird, man. And I'd love to say thank you to that guy, honestly, because I stole it straight from him.
He was super underrated, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Super
he was,
underrated.
And one of the best bodies in the business, you know?
Yeah.
And he was great. I mean, he always looked fucking good. He was always, you know, he was a pretty boy, but a badass. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, he had my favorite manager, Gary Hart. That was my guy.
Well, Gary Hart was one of the best. I wish I met Gary, but that was a little before my time. So
yeah.
I got to meet like Skandar Akbar. I got to meet, you know, I got to work with Captain Lobano in my first match. My first time with a manager was Captain Lobano.
That's amazing.
You know, I mean, he managed me on like four matches in a row, which is fucking cool as shit, you know. And then, you know, later on when I teamed with Nikolai, the Iron Sheik managed us a lot, you know. I mean, I had a lot of great people come into the ring, you know what I'm saying? And one person I would have been Jim Cornette. I mean, I'm a big fan of his work and stuff like that. You know,
hell yeah.
Just and unbelievably talented and one of the best minds in the business, Jim Cornette. Absolutely. Everybody says Kevin Sullivan, best minds in the business. I always say, Kevin Sullivan, Jim Cornette, Bill Watts, Dusty Rhodes, and Eddie Graham, you know? I mean, fucking unbelievable. And Jim Ross, too. Jim Ross is just...
Yeah.
People don't credit Jim Ross enough, you know?
Maybe so. Jerry Jarrett, too. Maybe. We'll say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jerry Jarrett. Yeah. Oh, my God. Jerry Jarrett. Yeah. Fucking... Yeah. And Jeff Jarrett. Jeff is a fucking... knows what the fuck he's doing. That guy's
he's a fucking hustler, bro. He's a hustler
and he's a machine, man. He looks better now than he did back then. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
Still throwing that flipper, man.
Oh yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. So, you know, but yeah, so what else you got? Throw at me.
Oh yeah. So okay, this is just a kind of a nosy question here. So Hollywood, man, the wrestler, you did one of my favorite shows. Actually, I think it was very underrated, especially about how it did the Batman universe with Gotham. You were a demon on there. You were in the show Sneaky Pete, you know, and that was cool too. But any future roles coming up, man? What do you got coming up?
Yeah, I got something going on with Marvel Disney streaming.
Oh,
Disney
Plus, dude. Disney Plus. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
cool.
I'm going to be on a Marvel series coming up.
Well, I know you. Can't say that because you'll hit a red dot come on your forehead there. So we'll leave you alone. But
yeah, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool. So, you know, and the Screen Actors Guild strike put everything on hiatus. But, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait to accomplish that. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you the truth right now, because of my divorce. I'm going through a really, really, really tough time. You know, I mean, I'm with a beautiful girl. I mean, she's freaking drop dead fucking gorgeous. My girlfriend Karen, my fiance Karen.
Yeah.
She comes to the ring with me, man. She works to the ring. She's actually doing high cross bodies off the second rope onto guys. She's not taking bumps.
I told you on Facebook, man. Take a bump for her, bro. Come on.
She's fucking great. I was going to take a bump when I caught her.
It's catcher, man. Go down, man. Go down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm comfortable with this, the whole thing. This is what we're doing. We're doing the old spot where I grab a heel or I grab the baby face. I hook him and I say, Karen, get up there. And she's going to come off the top and land on him. He gives me a shot or nails me. It rolls out of the way and I land. I catch her. I put her, I look at her, I'm like, oh, I got you, babe. I put her down, I turn around, and he super kicks me or a fucking whatever he does, a baby face over. That's a good spot to do, you know?
Yeah.
So
I will say it's very, honestly, inspirational, man, because I can tell, man, you love her and she loves you. Because I follow you on Facebook and social media and stuff, and you guys are in love, and that's very inspirational.
Yeah, man, she's really, she's the like best thing. Besides my two daughters, which I don't speak to right now, but my fiance is the best thing that ever happened to me, man. She takes care of me. And, you know, we work good together, and you know, it's just we're a team. And you know, she tolerates the wrestling business, and she's actually coming with me, escorting me to the ring where she's allowed to. And you know, I mean, you know, and she's training a little bit, you know, and she's learning how to do everything. And you know, I mean, so like I said, she's very, 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 very tolerant of.
That's awesome. It, as wrestlers, you know this. It's hard to find a good girl that'll have your back on all this kind of stuff that we do.
You know, I mean, look, I had two ex-wives, you know, and you know, the first one didn't tolerate, the second one was kind of tolerant of it because I was making money, and you know, but in the reality was that they couldn't stand the business, you know, so which was. Yeah. What it was, you know.
But listen here, man. We're not going to keep you no longer, man. I know you got things going on today, but what I want to give you an opportunity to do is plug whatever social media you got that you want people to buy stuff, or where can they see you, or what do you want to talk about, man?
Well, you want to get Andrew Anderson t-shirts, go to Pro Wrestling Tees, www.prowrestlingtees.com/AndrewAnderson. And get your Purple Haze, Andrew Anderson, the Reinforcer. Yeah, I got a Halloween purple pumpkin shirt out there with me, the Purple Haze pumpkin.
That's awesome.
I got all that out there for the season. And then, so we have that. And then we have Facebook, the Reinforcer, Andrew Anderson, Facebook, Andrew Anderson. And then my personal page, Andrew Anderson on Facebook. Yeah. So you have all those different ones. The one with the me bursting into flames is the Andrew Anderson personal page. I don't know how full that is. That's always full, and my moderator, my agent's always deleting stuff and deleting my comments when I make something too stupid. You know? which is quite.
I wish
often.
I had one of those. Cause,
hey,
I know. Yeah. Man, it's like they become my filter. You know, so my agents become my filter. I was like, he's like, you can't do this. You can't put that up. Take that. So I have that, and then I have my Twitter. One is Drew the Wrestler at Drew the Wrestler. That's Twitter, I think. And then Andrew the Reinforcer is the Instagram. But I'm going to be at the Parsippany Hilton, or the Hilton Parsippany, New Jersey, on October 27th, 28th, and 29th for Chiller Theater Expo. I'll be there along with guys like Chuck Zito and a whole bunch of celebrities, pop culture celebrities. It's one of the biggest conventions in Northern Jersey, and then in South Jersey in Atlantic City at the Showboat Casino and Hotel on October 20th, 21st, and 22nd, which is my birthday, the 22nd, we're going to be at New Jersey Horror Con, and it's great because I get to reunite with a friend of mine, Peter Criss from Kiss. He'll be there. So a lot of us are going to be signing.
So jealous of you.
You know,
God damn
it. It's a really, really cool thing. And you know, I just got done working with Ace Bodyguard and him at a Debonair Music Hall a few weeks back, and he did an appearance there, just hanging out, watching some of the bands.
Can we just be friends so I can like hang out and meet them?
Absolutely, but you got to get your ass up here. So you got to get your ass up here. So,
All right.
But I got that, and then I also have November 11th, Jason Knight from ECW fame. You know Jason.
Yep.
He's doing his Assault Championship Wrestling. I don't know if you did any interviews with him, but you should try to get him on your show.
Yeah, he actually was a part of me and Jamie when we worked ECW. He was kind of at the end there. He was a little affiliated with us. He ran in and did a thing on Raven or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, man, cool dude. And man, you're a cool dude. I appreciate
you trying to get off the ground. And I try to help Anybody, listen to me, I try to help people, man. That's always been my thing, you know. I mean, right now I got a lot of detractors going out there because of my divorce situation, the shit with my kids. I got a lot of things going on. I'm not going to discuss it, but, you know, yeah. I've been bashing a lot lately, and it's been tough. You know, it hasn't been easy. You know, when you go from being this guy that has a squeaky clean reputation, all of a sudden, you know, you got people calling your names and smashing you and Karen for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, look. I'm not an angel. I was never an angel. You know, my life was full of infidelity and stuff like that. And I did a lot of bad things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I also did a lot of good things. And people seem to forget the good when you're doing something.
Oh, absolutely. Like, they're only going to look at the bad, man. They're only going to look at the bad. I've been there, done that. And yeah, you can ask a bunch of people.
And we're not that kind of podcast either. We're not. We're not like looking for viral. Maybe we should, but we don't look for negative stuff to go viral. I know so many shows that do that, and it's just not what we do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I appreciate you guys having me on. Wolfie, you're a great dude, man. I'm glad we got to connect at Pigeon Forge. I hope we do so very soon. Maybe you can manage me on some of the shows, because you said you went through some freaking health issues and shit.
Oh,
you
know? I got a bunch of those, man. I'm trying.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're okay, and I think we could do something where you could manage me on something, you know? I
mean, yeah, it'd be awesome, you know? Man. Call me up.
You still got a vicious punch, so, you know.
Ask Flash Flanagan. Hey, man, honestly, great talking to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us your time. And we're going to take a break here in a second. And, Jimmy, we don't have to fucking milk this, man. We're coming back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and we'll be back.
Thanks, man.
Yo, man, thank you so much, dude.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. Everything was good, right? Very good.
Excellent. It
was
great. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you got my number now. Stay in touch, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jimmy, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you.
Honestly, man, I hope everything works out for you, man. I'm not just saying that.
All right, Wolfie. I love you, buddy.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, pal. Yep. Bye-bye.
Take care. Hey, DJ, hit that music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And Wolfie, as always, our listeners came through with some great questions. I tell you, man, they're just never running out. And, you know, sometimes it does get a little thin, but sometimes it is a plenty, as they say. And so I'm
a cornucopia
of questions. I feel like,
you know, when I learned that word in elementary school Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, you would kind of color the cornucopia. And,
yeah. And all the little fruit and pumpkins falling out of it.
Yeah, pumpkins and grapes. And it was like Fruit of the Loom for underwear. But yeah. Anyway, well, speaking of Fruit of the Loom,
I got cornucopia in my Fruit of the Loom.
Wolfie C, huh? You're Wolfie C. Yeah. So anyway, well, we got some great questions. Like I said, one of the questions I definitely want to ask, and I think this has kind of been answered in the past, but this would be fun to hear the question. So Richard Westbrook from Facebook has a cool question here. He says, would you take a job if it
was a rapper? I know
he's Oh, nice. Okay.
He's a Louisville rapper. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Richard, hit us up with some tunes, man. We'd love to hear them. So would you take a job if one were available in creative?
For sure. Yeah. I'd take a job with any of them doing something like that, because I think I got a mind for it. And I think anybody that knows me and has been in the business with me knows that, too. So, yeah, for sure, I'd take a job, man.
Yeah, I mean, I could see you offering so much. I mean, for sure, you would be a great agent and producer, but I would like to see, I think maybe AEW might be a better fit because they still let the wrestlers in on creative. It feels like Hollywood writers do it, you know, do it for WWE. I'm sure there's the Michael Hayes and some of those guys, but I would love to see some of the things. I mean, because, dude, I just interviewed Still Real Dave Wills on the Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling Stories from Across the Street. Thank you for the name of my show, Wolfie. And I just interviewed Dave Wills, and he was talking about the other night how great Monday Night Raw was because they were doing Memphis type stuff where there would be guys come down to the ring out of nowhere with no explanation, but it made sense and it worked, and it was just exciting stuff. And he compared it to old Memphis stuff. So I could see you offering that a lot to a current program, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Just like a lot of guys have said, man, it's still the same formula.
Right.
You know, some things have changed as far as in-ring and all that, but it's still the same formula.
Hey, man. I mean, and that's just this. Once you get the formula down, you know, then you can really get creative with it, I imagine. So that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the next question is from Kyle Vaughn. Sent us a lot of questions, and a lot of them are great. And I'm going to ask a couple here. So Kyle Vaughn on Facebook asked this question. He says, tell us the differences in working for a Burt Prentice versus a Mike Porter, the literal last two carnies in the world during those late 90s, early 2000s years. Tell us a little of that.
The difference is I really didn't work for Mike that much just because I think personal differences, things like that. I think I've talked about that before. Bert, you know, Bert took care of me, man, on payoffs, and Bert gave me, and not that Mike didn't. Most people in that time frame knew that I knew what the fuck time it was, and they'd give me. Control over what I was doing and what I wanted to do and stuff like that. But yeah, I put Bert over more than I would Mike.
Yeah, me too. I agree. You know, honestly, Bert paid me better for what I did than anyone, you know, so definitely appreciative of that. So, okay, so this one's kind of, you know, interesting, and especially since OVW's the big thing right now, you know, Kyle's asking, I mean, the wrestlers, man, come on. I think people are begging for a season two. I really think it's done a lot of positive things for them, and very exciting to see that. We had Cash Flow on before he did 30 other podcasts, so we did it first. So anyway, so this one's another one, you know, that I just want to, I think is a cool question. So when you went to OVW and reinvented yourself, did you feel like WWE was going to pick you up as a single? I've always preferred Wolfie DR Slash, but it's still the same dude. You know how to work and you seem cool. It does look like you were really trying to put the extra WWE size on, separate yourself totally from PG-13, maybe because of Jamie's bad rap at the time, and just go in a totally different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were going to sign me. I mean, and I again, I've talked about this on here before. I shot myself in the foot. Jim Ross came to me, and that's exactly what he said to me. He said, hey, man, we're looking at you again. Just don't shoot yourself in the foot, because he knew my reputation and, you know, as far as partying and stuff like that. And in a way, man, it's kind of... It's almost like a double standard, because like first time up in Nation of Domination, man, everybody was doing shit, man. Everybody was. We weren't on the high end of the totem pole.
Yeah.
And so it looked bad or whatever. And, you know, I can give so many excuses, but I'm not that person to give excuses. So I've always said I shot myself in the foot, exactly as Jim Ross told me not to do, and I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, fuck, I'm not going to fucking hold back on that. I mean, I did. And, you know, they gave me opportunities, had some good matches as Slash. A lot of people don't know Slash worked for WWE.
Yeah.
But he wasn't under contract, but he was about to be. And I just kind of fucked it up, man. And, you know, you live and you learn, and I guess they say everything happens for a reason, even though I fucking hate that fucking saying, but
right.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is, man. But was it that promo that you were standing in the ring with all of you guys together and you were having issues?
That was one of them. That was one of them. But also just they gave me a loop in Memphis to do me and Kevin Thorne, Kevin Seven, Mordecai. They had us tagging together and did a few shows and stuff. And man, I'd been out all night and I was just taking a nap. Most guys take naps in the locker room, 'cause you're there from 1 o'clock till fucking bell time. You know what I mean? And I took a nap and, they woke me up right before it was time to go. And
I went out there and did it. There's nobody that can say, oh, he went out there and looked bad. No, he right. didn't. He had to be woke up. But as soon as I woke up, it's like, for me, like I've said a million times, it's like riding a bicycle, man. I'm good at what I did, and it's like riding a bicycle, and wake me up before you go. but wake me up, man, and I'm good, man. And I went out there and did my job, but, I guess just being asleep at that time or whatever just didn't set right with a couple of people, and I didn't have the stroke nor the people maybe on my side that could say, hey man, fuck, he fucking went out there and did it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have the stroke to take a nap. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't just a nap, I'll just say that. It wasn't
sure
just
I get it sure
I didn't sleep it. Right then, because I had not been to sleep, so I needed to sleep, but I woke up and I did my job, so whatever.
Yeah, and it was a good match, I'm sure. But
yep.
Yeah, what are you gonna
do? Too cool.
Yeah, yeah. Against Too Cool, that's hilarious. You're standing across from the ring against the guys who essentially stole.
Yeah, I was working PG-13.
Oh man, that's brutal. Oh well, that's just even more of a slap. No, I know you've let that water go under the bridge, but that's still kind of weird how things work like that, right? Well, that's all I got for today, man. I'm taking it easy on you. We had three really good questions there, and I'm glad you answered them so well. I mean, I really just think that the jewel of this show today was our awesome interview with Andrew Anderson, man.
Yeah, man. And I'm so glad that he came on here. Me and you talked about it beforehand. It's like, I kind of knew him, but kind of don't. And let's see what we get here. And man, it turned out great. It turned out
it really
great.
Did.
What a very cool dude. And man, he articulated himself well, and man, told some funny stories, and not to mention, he's cool with Kiss, man. Fuck. Dude,
that's all we need to know. Yeah. That's all we needed to know. Yeah.
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 Totally. Yeah. Shock me. Make me feel better.
Dude, I've been watching some videos on YouTube where they're playing live, and I can't remember where it is, but they play She, and they play, and dude, they're just so good, man. They're just so tight, and so it's the original four, and they're playing like a little live show, and I don't know, I can't remember where it is, but I watch all these videos and it's at the same place. But one of them that stands out is definitely one of my favorite songs. She is just such a great riff, man. That lick is so cool. Good.
I like Parasite. I think that's underrated too. There's a lot of their songs that didn't get airplay.
Yeah,
that I think are wave War Machine. And I know like nowadays, like people hear that and yeah, but back then it didn't get airplay. War Machine. Right. The best songs they ever had, I think. But
I agree. It's like
Bigelow used to come out to that.
Yeah. Lord Humongous did too. I mean, I just think it's like their Black Sabbath song, man. It's just got that powerful riff, and it's just so heavy and so good, man. Yeah. Just incredible stuff. Eric Carr on the drums, dude.
A whole show about Kiss.
I mean, I'm ready for it whenever you are, brother. So,
are the listeners ready?
I think so. Yeah, let us know. Are y'all ready for a show about Kiss?
Yeah. I wish we could get Andrew to get Ace on here for us. But
oh, my God. Yeah.
That's awesome. But
y'all
anyway.
Y'all want to sponsor that? Get your business on the show. We'll sponsor that show. Get Ace on. That would be amazing. So
yeah, let's put a pool together. But anyway, thank you guys once again for listening to us bullshit our way through an hour. And hopefully you enjoyed it. And we'll see what we come up with next week, man. It's week to week. We're paycheck to paycheck around here. Even though it's no paycheck, we're just paycheck to paycheck. We just guess the guest. And
yeah. You know, is it direct deposit to direct deposit now, though? Yeah. You remember how it used to be paycheck to paycheck? But anyway. That's a whole other story. Anyway, thank you, Wolfie.
Love you, Jimmy, man.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, listeners. And tune in next week. We'll see what we got for you. I hope it's good.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the plastic chic Jared are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
If you're a fan of rock music, I'd really appreciate it if you took a moment to check out my podcast. It's called the Decibel Geek Podcast. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We talk about Kiss. We talk about Ozzy. We talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Metallica. We talk about all the legends from the 60s and on, up to brand new bands that you should be hearing about today that you're not going to hear on the radio. It's Decibel Geek. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us there. If you love rock and roll, I can almost guarantee you're going to love my show.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. Don't rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than over one or data. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You sucker, step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Whoopi D, baby. Huh. I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.